May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a story about a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. And he was given a slingshot to play out with out in the woods. And he practiced in the woods. But he could never hit the target that he was aiming for. And getting a little discouraged, he headed back to dinner. And as he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. And just out of impulse, he let fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. And getting a little discouraged, he was shocked and he was grieved. He was saddened by it, and in a panic, he hid the duck in the woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, and she said nothing. And after lunch that day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen. Didn't you, Johnny?" And then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." So Johnny did the dishes. And later, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." But Sally smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." And she whispered to him, "Remember the duck." So Sally went fishing, and Johnny stayed. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer, and he came to his grandmother and confessed that he had killed the duck. And she knelt down, and she hugged him and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window. I saw the whole thing. Because I love you, I forgive you. But I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." The mother said that the little boy was enslaved. The grandmother said that the little boy was enslaved by his sister Sally. "But you know, I know, we know together that the little boy was enslaved by a sense of separating himself from someone that he loved, hurting someone that he loved. He was enslaved by his actions, and the action that was not apparent or acknowledged was the grandmother's forgiveness. It's not easy to forgive, is it? It's not easy to ask for forgiveness. In preparing for this message, I read of a $10 million grant to study forgiveness in 1999. Now, $10 million is a lot of money today. Think of what it was in 1999. The John Marks Templeman Foundation sponsors projects that apply scientific methods to religious issues. The Campaign for Forgiveness research involved psychologists and sociologists and neuroscientists, among others, who were given grants to be part of this huge study. Rarely has forgiveness been treated as these scientists approached it, as human behavior that it can be measured and taught and learned. Most Americans considered it an act of divine intervention, but in a recent Gallup poll at the time, more than 80% said that they needed the help of God to show mercy. The essence of forgiveness is always the same, says Robert Enright, who is the founder of the International Forgiveness Institute, a training center in Madison, Wisconsin. He continues, "You've been hurt by someone. You choose to give up resentment to which you are entitled. You offer benevolence and mercy to someone who does not deserve it. Maybe it's something that should come naturally, an innate skill that shouldn't have to be taught. But the act of forgiving, it seems, takes work. Maybe even some training." That was the idea behind that $10 million earmarked for forgiveness research. Now, as Christ followers, we should know for certain that forgiveness is critical to our life of faith. Over the years of my ministry, I've been involved with many Good Friday services. In my first appointment, the clergy from our church was involved in a Treor service at St. Clair Montefalco Roman Catholic Church. A Treor service is a three-hour-long service in which the seven words of Christ from the cross are spoken and remembered and preached upon. That service was beautifully facilitated by a layperson, and she marshaled the area clergy who were speaking with the skill of a drill sergeant and the compassion of a Mother Teresa. As followers of Jesus, we should know that forgiveness is important. Jesus talked about it all the time. Jesus talked about it all the time, and forgiveness were the first of those last seven words of Christ from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Severely beaten, forced to carry his cross, needing help to carry his cross to the place of death, nailed to the cross. And the first words he utters is, forgive them. Christian author Janet Holmes McHenry has written 23 books, most of them on the topic of prayer. But she's also a high school English teacher. And she writes, the most curious word to me in this one sentence prayer is them. To whom is Jesus referring? As an English teacher, I know that a pronoun such as the word them should refer back to the last appropriate noun used. It's antecedent. If that is true, then the word them in this context refers back to the two criminals crucified along with him. Now that's some nerdy English thought process right there. But McHenry goes on to say that doesn't really make sense because they had done nothing to Jesus, although you'll remember, as we read, that one of the criminals mocked Jesus. So she writes that the logical assumption is Jesus was praying for the Roman soldiers, nailing him to the cross. Jesus could be referring to the broader they and them, those who had crucified him, those who had forced him to carry his cross, those who had beaten him, those who cried out, crucify him, crucify him. At the very least, Jesus is referring to the soldiers who knelt down beside him and nailed him to the cross. And have you ever wondered how the soldiers reacted to Jesus' words? They must have heard him. We think that Jesus' words, or we'd like to think that Jesus' words would pierce their hearts, except in the next words we learn that the soldiers gambled to see how they would divide up Jesus' clothes. Jesus, when forgiving those who were putting him to death, was simply following through on what he taught his disciples all along. When Jesus' disciples asked them to teach him to pray, he taught them the Lord's Prayer. Remember the words, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In Matthew's Gospels, right after the teaching of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus adds this, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is reciprocal. If we expect to get it, then we should give it. McHenry writes, forgiveness prayer is not just a once-in-a-lifetime prayer. It's something we would do daily, certainly praying that God would forgive us and giving our forgiveness to others. We need to ask God to forgive our trespasses and forgive the trespasses of others, the sins of others. Forgiveness is at the core of our Christian faith, and it's not only bridges the gap between ourselves and God, but it bridges the gap between ourselves and others. McHenry writes, there are several ways in which we can seek forgiveness. The first instance we've sinned not against a fellow human being, but we've sinned, that is, we separated ourselves from God. There are times in which we have neglected our relationship with God. We've not lived up to being made in God's image. Perhaps we've not paid attention to God's call upon our lives. Then we need to own up to our distancing ourselves from God, and we need to ask God to forgive our disobedience. Second, there's a need to pray for forgiveness when our sins affect both God's and someone else. This is a time when we not only ask for God's forgiveness, but we also have to make it right with the other person. Jesus addressed this very well in Matthew's gospel. Quote, "So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. Be reconciled first to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift." Our relationship with each other affects our relationship with God. And our relationship with God affects our relationship with each other. So third and finally, we need to pray a prayer of forgiveness when we have been offended by another. This is the Jesus prayer from the cross. Remember the Lord's Prayer. We ask for forgiveness even as we forgive others. Forgiveness means that you are moving past the offense and no longer hold the other person accountable for your pain. It is as if a curse is lifted, and when we pray for forgiveness in the name of Jesus the Christ, there is true power in prayer of forgiveness, and we move from pain and division to reconciliation and peace. Forgiveness is restorative, and life can be better. I have never understood the words, "I could never forgive them even if they do apologize." I have said to people who've said that to me, "Then our conversation is over. What more is there to say if you can't accept the hallmark of your own faith?" The person who says those words and holds on to their pain, they deny the power of reconciliation, restoration, and deny the power of the resurrection. If we don't forgive others or ask for forgiveness, then we are stuck with a Good Friday perspective on life and faith. We have no excuse for denying the power of forgiveness. We know even on this Good Friday that Sunday's coming, right? It's Friday. It's Good Friday. Jesus has died. But Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. And Jesus teaches us real obedience as he was tortured and nailed to the cross, as he was freed from the tomb and shares that freedom with each of us. Remember little Johnny, the boy held hostage by his sister? The grandmother was standing in the kitchen window and saw everything that had happened. Well, friends, Jesus stands at the window, and he sees and knows our whole life. But because he loves us, he will forgive us if we but only ask. And that's the word of God for the people of God this evening on this Good Friday night. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.